I grew up by a river, a very different river to the River Jordan. I grew up in a house that overlooked the Severn estuary, half river, half sea, about 12 miles across. In colour, roughly like the unsatisfying watery hot chocolate from a vending machine. At high tide, big enough to carry large ships into the docks. At low tide, the waters retreat to reveal a huge expanse of wiry grass, mud and oomska, and at the lowest tides, right at the water's edge, tantalizing little patches of golden sand. Not picture postcard pretty, but beautiful in its way. Capable of fierceness in stormy weather. A cappuccino froth whipped up on the surface of the watery hot chocolate. Waves sent crashing into and sometimes over the esplanade. Perhaps because of its huge tides, the Severn seems to wash up more than it washes away. Wood of all sorts, even whole trees, battered and twisted plastic, rusty containers. As a child, I spent time on the beach with my father, collecting wood to burn on our fire through the colder months of the year. Others gathered seaweed to use as a garden fertilizer. And sometimes, among the flotsam and jetsam and the great tangled banks of bladderwrack, unexpected things washed up. Once, the lifeless body of a young whale. Once, the lifeless body of a man. The Bible is full of water. It is there right at the beginning, at the dawn of creation, darkness on the face of the deep, the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. There is the great flood. There are the wells of the patriarchs. Moses is pulled from the Nile. The waters of the Red Sea bring life and freedom to the Israelites and death to the armies of Pharaoh. In the wilderness, the Israelites drink water from the rock, and they are taught to keep themselves ritually clean through the washings prescribed in the Levitical law. In this morning's psalm, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Jonah sinks in the waters of the raging sea, and the prophet Ezekiel sees a vision of a great river flowing from the temple in Jerusalem. And in the New Testament, there is the Jordan of John's baptism of repentance, the Galilee of the fishermen turned fishers of men, the Mediterranean of Paul's shipwreck. And there is Jesus, the living water, a spring of water welling up to eternal life, the water and blood pouring from the side of the crucified Saviour, the water of the baptism of the new covenant, and the river of the water of life of the last chapter of Revelation, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Life-giving, cleansing, transformative, destroying, difficult to control or to contain. We are probably more used to fire as an image for the Holy Spirit. But water as an image for the Holy Spirit, especially the living waters of river or sea, water as an image for the Holy Spirit also has a scriptural basis and offers us possibilities for thinking about the work of the Spirit in our lives.